The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
From that time on, after Peter's confession, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the year 73 BC, a former slave named Spartacus led a slave rebellion against the Roman Empire. It was called the Third Servile War, and it lasted for 2 years. Rome was not amused. So a Roman general was sent to put an end to the rebellion. 6,000 slaves were captured and crucified along the Appian Way, which was the main road running between Rome and the sea. The road was then lined with 6,000 crosses, with a crucified person hanging upon each one. The display was to make it very, very clear who was in control and who held the power. And if you had any doubt at that time who owned your life, all you needed to do was walk along the road and look up. Fast forward 100 years to the Gospel of Matthew. Peter has just declared that Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Afterwards, Jesus pulls his disciples aside, apart from the crowds, and Jesus tells the disciples that he'll suffer, be killed, and then be raised from the dead. But Peter, in all of his humanity, doesn't understand what's going on, and he says, "No, this can't happen." And Jesus rebukes Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan. If you want to be a disciple of mine, take up your cross and follow me." For Peter, it has not been that many years since 6,000 crosses lined the Appian Way. The cross's only purpose was for torture and execution. The cross was power and control that was imposed upon another. Peter had absolutely no sense of what we might see in the cross today. There was no religious connotation for him. There was no life, no redemption, no divinity. The cross represented a violent, demoralizing, dishonorable death. And the memories and the fear of that are still very, very real for the disciples. Yet Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." I think it's important for us to ponder for a few minutes today what the cross means for us. The cross can absolutely be a symbol of the gospel. Lots of us wear crosses around our necks. We hang crosses in our homes. Our neighbors down the street have a big cross on their front door with red polka dots and an enormous bow. These crosses tell everyone that Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us. These crosses identify us as Christians, and they tell the world that we believe in Jesus Christ and that Christ is the one who is in control of our lives. But crosses today can also symbolize hate. As a child in the late 60s, I lived in Indianapolis. And my grandparents lived nearby. And when we would go to my grandparents' house, I would play with the little girl who lived next door. One night, a cross was burned in this little girl's yard. And those who surrounded the cross that night wore white hoods. The cross that night was a symbol of fear and hatred and of who was in control. The family moved away, and I no longer had a little friend to play with. As recently as 2 weeks ago, a request for a permit was filed by the KKK to burn a cross on the top of Stone Mountain in Atlanta, a symbol of fear and hatred and control. The request was denied. Crosses have also been used to sanction violence and discrimination. I had a friend in seminary who one day broke down and shared with me that she had been abused by her husband when she was a young wife. She told her pastor at the time, and his response was that the abuse was her cross to bear. She needed to pick up this cross and carry it, just like Jesus did, in order to save her marriage. She lived under the power and the control and the fear of her husband. Many of us have been told that our gender, race, sexuality, health, economic situation, whatever, are just the crosses that we need to bear, that we are powerless against these crosses, which can instill fear and death. No wonder Peter was confused. No wonder Peter didn't understand why being a disciple required picking up a cross and losing his life. I too get all tangled up in this gospel. Take up your cross and follow me. I thought we had a loving God, a grace-filled God, a God who wants the best for us. If I have a God who wants the best for us, then why would God want me to suffer? Many of us know people who have given up their lives for Jesus. We had some friends in Atlanta, and they were both professionally very successful. Their church told them to move from their big house to a teeny tiny little worn down house. And they gave away so much money that they then had barely enough to live on. Is that what Jesus wants us to do? Or are we to be like Bonhoeffer, Oscar Romero, Mother Teresa, the Christians in Egypt, and literally lose our life for Jesus? Is that what taking up the cross means? Is that what losing our life for Jesus means? Theologian Shannon Kirshner wonders whether Jesus is actually trying to redefine the cross for the disciples. By inviting the disciples to take up their cross, was Jesus really inviting the disciples to stop giving the fear of the cross so much power? To stop worshiping fear and death as our gods? Instead, she ponders, Jesus is calling them to take up the cross and follow him. To believe more in the life-giving power of God than the death-dealing power of fear. To give our life not to the crosses, that rise above us in power and intimidation, but to give our life instead to God, to walk with God, to be with God, to let God be the center and the focus of our life. We so often let other things be the center and the focus of our life. At Affirm this summer, each member of the group called Exodus carried a brick for 3 days. For 3 days, the brick accompanied them to classes, mealtime. They slept with the brick. The brick was with them always. They couldn't put the brick down. It became the center of all their thoughts, and for a few days, that brick changed their lives. If you've ever had the joy of having a new baby in the house, you know that they consume absolutely every moment of your time and your thoughts, whether you're waking or whether you're sleeping. When you can't put something down, you pay a lot of attention to it. If you've ever been on a diet, whether it's a diet to reduce calories or cholesterol or add more vegetables, you know that the diet can often become the focus of everything. What if our lives belonged to God? What if God was the center of our lives so that no matter what we do, where we go, what time it is, that God is with us, guiding and directing all of our thoughts and our actions? Is this what taking up the cross means? Is this what losing our life to Jesus means? Taking up our cross means giving up the powers that persecute and overwhelm us and threaten our life. Letting God be the one who is in control of our lives, not power, not death, not sin, not addiction, not fear, not abuse, but God. Taking up the cross is accepting the power from Jesus, the power to love others, to fight against injustice and to shut down abuse, to care for those we could have power over, and to be God's hands and feet in the world. Make no mistake about it, taking up the cross of Jesus does not come easily. It takes courage. It will change our lives. It will reorient our lives. We can't carry around a brick or a baby or be on a diet and not have it change something in our lives. When we take up the cross of Jesus, our life will change. But loosening our own grip and letting God control our lives will lead us to places that we never imagined, never ever dreamed of, and places where perhaps we previously may have feared. Taking up the cross of Jesus, losing our life to Jesus, is not a call for us to die, but to recognize that our life is not our own. In losing our life to Jesus, Jesus promises that we will find our life. This past week, a picture circulated which showed a very, 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 very long line of people in Houston who were standing in the rain and they were waiting. They weren't waiting, as we might expect, for food or shelter, for clothing, for the next available contractor, or an appointment with their insurance company. Instead, they were waiting to volunteer, waiting to help another, waiting to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Amen.